So we get together on Tuesdays to learn halacha. We are in the middle of learning Hilchas Tefillah. But as we always do before a Yom Tov, or before a day in which you have an unusual amount of practiced halachas, let's quickly go over the halachas of the 3 weeks, 9 days, and of Tisha B'Av, with the hope that Mashiach is coming.
Amen.
And the halachas in Torah will never change. Even after Mashiach will come, we're going to have a Hilchas Tisha B'Av that we used to practice during the times of Golus. So may all these halachas be already learned on that level. It should not be relevant Lamaisa because Mashiach is coming today. And all this will stay in the books. So just a quick overview. Just like when a person, God forbid, is undergoing their personal halachic mourning, we personally halachically mourn. When a person loses a father or a mother, a brother or a sister, a spouse or a son or a daughter. These are the seven halachic relatives for which one is obligated to mourn. Goes without saying, many times, God forbid, there is a close friend, there is an event, people have the right to mourn for whatever they would like to mourn for. But halachically, we are mechuyev to mourn for the seven close relatives. And all of the halachas of those mournings are very similar to the halachas of our national time of mourning. Just in the reverse way, mamish. When there is a personal tragedy, someone passes away, the person goes from the beginning of the highest level of mourning, aninus, to a little bit of a lesser level of mourning, shiva, to a little bit of a lesser level of mourning, shloshim, till the lowest level of halachic mourning, which is a year. In other words, a person is shocked by some tragic event, and the Torah, through halacha, weans the person off of the mourning period. You get weaned off it by properly mourning. Again, there's a lot of gray area, but when we all will be bound by the halachic boundaries, within those boundaries, every person will find their healthy balance of mourning. Mourning is something that we need to undergo when there's a reason for it. And on the other hand, we don't want to mourn forever. That is unhealthy. So we are weaned off the mourning. We go from the highest level of mourning to no mourning at all. When it comes to national mourning, which is what we are doing right now, it's mamish the same, but in the opposite direction. The opposite direction means, being that for most of us, unless a person is a great tzaddik or tzaddika, they're not shocked into the churban habayis. Okay. Actually, we have to make an effort, because there's an obligation to make an effort to be in this mourning period. So instead of us getting weaned off the mourning, we are getting weaned into the mourning. So we go from the 3 weeks, and just correlate, the general halachas of the 3 weeks is connected to the year. The general halachas of the 9 days are connected already, you can say some of it, to the shloshim, some of it even to the Shiva, but let's go general to the Shloshim, and Tisha B'Av itself is like the Shiva itself. It doesn't work perfectly, but it's just a concept. There are different phases in mourning, and we are now weaning ourselves into the mourning. There are times that if a person is getting oneself into a mourning mindset, oy gewalt mindset, it's frowned about. This is the time of the year that we are encouraged to get into a mourning zone with the heaviness that it brings. But also we should remember that when we don't mourn when we are supposed to mourn, as is with any human emotion, you can't avoid it. You can suppress it, but for how long can you tread water? And then normally if you don't allow it expression in its right time, in most cases it's going to express itself in the wrong time. So We go that we have a Torah, we have Chazal, who are divinely inspired, and we proudly live by these guidelines, and yes, we are now in a mourning period. Even when a person is mourning for something personal, even there, it's not pshat that the person has to 24/7 be in the state of mourning. You are bound by the halachas of mourning 24/7 during Shiva, during the Shloshim Yeah. But as we all see, and no one should ever know that, there will be times when the person will be overcome with a very deep feeling of sadness, v'chulei. But at the same time, you know, there's something beautiful. A person speaks about their parent and your siblings, and you have good memories, and fakert, you'll laugh. That's not asur. relating to this also, that we are mourning about the temple. Therefore, there's also the as we'll speak in a moment, the time in this period to learn about the temple. And that will bring a certain amount of joy to remember how things were, even though none of us were physically in this life there, but our neshamas remember standing in the temple, which is why we daven every musaf. We speak about what happened as if we were there. And because of our sins, we're no longer there. And we no longer do X, Y, and Z. A Jew deeply remembers being by the temple. And when Mashiach is coming and the temple is going to be built, a lot of it is going to resonate. It won't be this foreign thing. We're going to remember something. We're going to remember something because deep down we were there. Furthermore, let's go back to personal mourning. Right? We have a Muna that is going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim. As outlandish as this might sound, who cares? It's one of the principles of Yiddishkeit. Now, it depends on the family. But you know, when I was in yeshiva, and I remember Rabbi Hecht passed away, and I remember during the burial, how his children got up there and they says, listen, all this is temporary. And they meant it. It was very meaningful. It's not a bizoyan of the morning. It's temporary. Halavai Mashiach should have been here who knows how many years ago, and it would have been even more temporary. But that's also part of it, is that believing in Tchiyas HaMeisim is that when a person has one close relative that is physically now not here, part of mourning is thinking about, wow, they're going to come back. And what's going to happen with the house that I got from them? It's going to be politics and... I mean, practical. All that is part of the mourning. Mourning doesn't only mean you're going to sit and cry, but it's to be in tune with something that happened, to think about it, both think about the past, and also being that we have a mourner, that in the future things will again drastically change. Now death is a given. Okay, it doesn't have to be that way. It was not that way in the beginning. Even according to the Pashat Rambam's vision of the beginning of the Messianic era, that there will be death then as well in the beginning, but it won't be the way it is right now. There the Pasuk says that if someone passes away when they are 100, it will be as tragic as a child passing away today. Which means that minimally, life will be extended for many, many hundreds of years, as we have in the Chumash, that Adam lived 1,000 years. Could be by 1,000 years, will Taka have enough? We'll find out. Yanuk shine. Like, it was a shit. Same breakfast. How many times you can eat breakfast? But,
we'll make it.
No, but it changes. It just, you know, all of that is part of the morning. And the way that Rebbe emphasizes being that we are Taka right before the coming of Mashiach, that we should spend a lot of time thinking about the temple, learning about the temple. Okay, it's all part of the morning. Morning doesn't have to mean crying, but we are in a morning period. And every mourning period, and that's the way halacha deals with things, halacha does speak about externalities, emes. Will your feelings always follow with the way you behave? Not exactly. But yeah, it does have an effect. The way you dress, the way you behave has some sort of effect in the inners of the person. And halacha deals in the realm of the externalities. And let's speak about that as we do a halacha class to review the halachas. The 3 weeks is already behind us, so let's speak about the 9 days. Even though we are already in the middle of the 9 days, I wrote down just a lot of nuances. First of all, many women here, or might be listening, are Sfardim, many women are Ashkenazim. Like in many areas of halacha, many times there are real differences between Sfardim and Ashkenazim, and there is a great importance for people to follow their tradition. Very important. So if anyone is from a Sephardic family, and halachas. Now, if you married an Ashkenazi, then you follow Ashkenazi custom. We can be happy about it. We can be sad about it. Didn't make up these rules. These rules are written. The tribal ancestry is paternal as much as Yiddishkeit is maternal. Again, no one wrote it. I didn't invent this. These are halachas that go back from Moses and Sinai. So if you are married to a Sephardi, or if you are a single woman and you are a Sfardi, just know that you don't have the concept of 9 days. It doesn't exist. Actually, in the Talmud, we don't have the 9 days. We have the 3 weeks. We don't have the 9 days. The Talmudic term in which we acknowledge that beyond the 3 weeks, as we are getting closer to Tisha B'Av, as we are weaning ourselves into the mourning of the Beis HaMikdash, there is a heightened level of mourning. It's called Shavua Shachal Boi Tisha B'Av, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls, which is, first of all, less than 9 days for sure, And think about it. What about this year? Many halachic deciders, poskim, say, according to the Sfardim, and even by the Ashkenazim, there are differences between the week of and not the week of, even in the 9 days. They claim that in such a year, there isn't Shavua Shechal by Tisha B'Av. There isn't the week of, because this week, there's no Tisha B'Av. Shabbos is Tisha B'Av, but we don't fast. So, okay, so Sunday is Tisha B'Av itself. You'll be keeping all of the halachas of the 9 days on Tisha B'Av plus, regardless. Which means that in such a year, Sfardim are must have many fewer restrictions halachically. Okay, so now let's go. What are the halachas of the 9 days? A general term that is a mystical term. It's called days in which our mazel is weak. Now, again, I didn't write this. This can be understood on many levels. I know I spoke about this many times in the past. The kitzur, mazel, refers to a very high level of our neshama. Every person has their mazel. It's such a high level of our neshama that unless you are a great tzaddik, we're speaking about real tzaddik of Tanya, you don't have access to it. But there are certain magical moments that even people like us can touch our mazel. What happens when I touch my mazel? In other words, there's the you and there's the super you. The super you is the mazel. All these fantasies in the world about super figures, that's the mazel. We all have our mazel. And there are miraculous moments when I have the ability to touch into my mazel. When that happens, I am imbued with superpowers, if you want to use the Narasha words of the world. So, Lamashal, if a parent sees the child trapped under a car that fell on them, and you'll see people like us will lift something that is 10 times beyond what we are able to lift. Or when there was the fire here and people crawled out of a window in a burning building that physically their bodies don't fit in that small window, and other such phenomena, the way we would term it is that at that moment, something stimulated us to become in touch with our mazel. And once I got mazel, I have a whole new level of power. I have a superpower. There are times in the year when that could happen without any effort. Could. There are personal times in the year that happens, which is on one's birthday, for example, when we have the words that on your birthday, mazoloi goyver, you have a lot of mazel. We don't believe in luck. There's no such thing as luck. There's God. Everything is ashgacha pratis. Mazel, the way the world interprets it, is heresy. Apikorsis. Mazel meaning that there are certain times on your birthday, you are more tapped into your mazel without any effort.
Mazel, sorry, just the definition of mazel, because I don't really understand, is like a greater energy source?
Your greater.
So it's like the brachas are going to Makif, say?
Very good. Let's go. They want to use different words. In Kabbalah, we learned that there are 5 levels to the soul. We're going from the lowest to the highest. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. And then chaya yechida. Chaya yechida. Chaya is called mazel in Kabbalah. Chaya and Yechida are powers of the soul that are so beyond us that they never fully fit into the body. They stay makif. It's the aura. So it's good to tap into your aura. Yeah. These 9 days are days in which we are blocked off that aura. So it's not a bad thing. Just understand. Not mazel, it doesn't mean something bad is going to happen. It just means that there are times that I need to tap into something super. I don't have that ability during these 9 days. And therefore, whenever you could, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a court case with a non-Jew, if you are able to delay it, don't have it during the 9 days. If a person is going to do a elective surgery, we're not speaking about that. If a doctor says to do a surgery, do it when the doctor says. But if there's some procedure that you don't need to do what we call in the 9 days, or by the Sfardim, Shavua Shechalboy, do it later. Do it later. Why? Because just in case you'll need to tap into this mazel, we don't have access to this mazel. Just to put it what it means, like people shouldn't, it's not a bad thing. It's not that something bad is going to happen. It's the opposite. Everything is normal. Normally, part of normal is that when needed, I have the ability to become super. I don't have this ability during the 9 days. Does it mean it can never happen? No, I'm sure it could happen. It could happen. But it's harder to get there. There's a weakening in the mazel. There's a blockage to the mazel. So therefore, we don't, again, in Shulchan Aruch, we try not to go to court, the words will be, don't submit to a elective surgery. Or you can argue any sort of intrusive medical procedure. Yeah, the nice words that you start learning when you're in the middle age, right? So yeah, don't do it now, do it later. the doctor wants to make this test or that test, especially if it is intrusive. You have to take this type of shot, you got to take whatever it is. Delay it, do it afterwards. Not that if you do it now, nothing is going to happen to you, but that's the words in Shulchan Aruch. We tend not to make gatherings of joy unless it's connected to a mitzvah. Okay? Like, for example, what will be a Seudas mitzvah? Will be a bris. If you have a bris, then you are allowed to make a bona fide bris and serve fleishiks and drink wine 100%. But if it's not a mitzvah gathering, nothing wrong with chaverim getting together. That's going to bring Mashiach. But making a Seudas mitzvah, something that we do not do during the 9 days. Actually, not only do we not listen to music, but some people, during the week of the 9 days, don't even sing collectively, aside of Shabbos. So for example, when the Rebbe made rallies with children that he did during the 9 days, and during the Rebbe's rallies we would sing, we wouldn't sing during the 9 days, during the week. During the week or during the 9 days, I'm sorry. Yeah, during the weekday, I meant to say, not Shabbos. I mean, Shabbos in the 9 days, sing. But during a weekday, the Rebbe, I'm trying to remember if there was ever a Fabrengen. L'chayre, the Rebbe never made a Fabrengen during the 9 days, I'm guessing, unless it was Shabbos. Because that's already a mitzvah gathering, exactly, and normally you make a L'chaim, you don't do that. Right. Okay. We, even though really we shouldn't buy anything during the 3 weeks, but there's a lot of hetedim for the 3 weeks. Something is on sale, you can buy it in the 3 weeks, not on the 9 days. Parenthetically, if it's a super sale, maybe you can get a heter also. There's always that. But
don't go shopping.
Definitely don't get anything chashuv. Don't sign a lease on a new car. I assume that's something chashuv. Something that's today we're living in such a disposable age.
Yeah.
You can argue if it does nothing to you, if it makes no difference.
What if you need like a new white shirt?
Okay. Very good. Okay. Don't buy new clothing. Not only that. Let me go further. We're not supposed to. Now all these halachas that I'm saying right now, I know that our generation, people are very lenient in them, for right or for wrong, that washing and pressing clothing is something that should not be done during the 9 days. Yeah. And if you do have freshly washed and pressed clothing, including towels or linen sheets, the minimum that you should do is right before you wear them, I'm not going to say throw them on the floor, it's not hygienic, but do something to them that takes, don't step on them.
Isn't it like being missionary, like we're dafka, just to...
In other words, there's a certain joy.
That we're kind of saying in a conscious statement, I'm doing this in this way because...
I'm not practicing anything that's beyond the necessity, that's the way I would word it. And even though, okay, the reason why people are lenient is because today, thank God, we're living in a very high level of hygiene. Perhaps too much, I'll get to that in a moment, medically. And anything that's in the world of luxury should be avoided during either the 9 days for Ashkenazim or Shavua Shachalboy for the Sfardim. And washing garments was considered something of luxury. It says clearly that if your garments are dirty, take off the dirt. But we're speaking about, like by us, you wear it for a day or two, you're living in air conditioning, it doesn't even smell that bad, enough, I'm changing it, I'm washing it. That sort of washing is something that we either should not do, really, and if it was done, whatever freshly worn means to you, take away its freshness. So going back to your shirt, right, if a person has no shirt, there's no shirt, then of course, kavod habrias, you're going to buy a shirt. If you're going to do that, then... Someone said you have to throw it on the floor to step on it. I know some people do that. I don't think it's a nice thing to do, but something in that spirit. I'll give you a more practical example, which happens. We're going to get soon to the laws of Tisha B'Av. We're not allowed to wear leather shoes on Tisha B'Av, as we may not on Yom Kippur. It happens that some people, this is common, they chop a day or two before Tisha B'Av. Oops, I don't have Tisha B'Av shoes. So again, that will be your case of a shirt. If you don't have Tisha B'Av shoes, and you don't have an option, because of human dignity, kavod habrias, you are allowed to buy shoes. But again, you're not going to buy your fancy shoes. B'chlal, the whole thing is not to get fancy shoes. And if you get them, then take away their newness one way or the other. Ask your cleaning lady to wear it for the day. That will be something like that. It shouldn't be brand new shoes. Okay. Go ahead, ask.
Just because
because we were talking about it, but we use this kind of royal we don't, but what happens if we are blessed to have someone who is doing the cleaning without the laundry without our
okay, this is
putting into the basket, is that are we, is that then incumbent on our homes and on, you know,
when you have, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about younger children. Whoever has younger children in the house has more what to lean on, because younger babies' clothing could be cleaned. I would prefer not to answer your question because you know, every generation, these are one of the halachas that people are very lenient in. I'm not saying that it's okay. Let's leave it at that.
I mean, then how do you view on that into your children, in that we're living in a different time, in that, you know, it's so hard for them to even get a sense of loss or destruction or mourning?
I want to answer that question. I'll get there. Very good. Okay. That's a good question. The other one was also a good question.
I'm not actually going and washing the clothing.
Okay. Okay.
And just...
All right.
The flip side is, like, I've done it once before where I didn't much wash a thing and we were
hard. I really that's a very good question.
It's the end of the 9 days and you've got 28 clothes of laundry.
Okay. I want to answer this question. I don't want to go too much about the laundry. It's very difficult not to do laundry for this amount of time. It's almost impossible. I want to just say the following, that there are many, many nuances of halachas. Like, just for example, I know I'm being recorded and it's not ideal, and I'm saying this with discretion and only theoretically, but I want to just say, for example, I know that the clothing, especially the basic clothing, I'm not talking about people that stomp couldn't care and they shouldn't go to the dry cleaners, you could have done that before. I'm talking about the underwear, which is dirty, it's more dirty, you can argue, you have more to wear, and you can't. We live in a generation that I don't change my clothing once a week, I change my clothing, let's say, once a day. I don't have enough clothing, and if you have a large household, when you have all this together, theoretically, I'm not saying that you should paskin this way, on top of the fact that we have to acknowledge that Sfardim don't have this rule, only Shavuot Shechalboy. In this year, you can argue there isn't any Shavuot Shechalboy. So you can argue that you don't have to eat that this year, all these dinim are not so chomer. Why am I saying that? I'm saying this after the fact that people are lenient when it comes to the cleaning of their basic clothing. I'm speaking about the basic clothing. Listen, at least in my world, I know there is a weakness when it comes to washing, let's say, underwear, you don't go to the dry cleaners. There's no need for it.
Okay.
It's something that is very doable.
So again, it's like doing it with
a shinui,
doing it with a different time.
It's a halacha class, so I don't want to use those words, because those words of shinui is not used when it comes to washing. No heter like this is written. What is written is that if you are a Sfardi, then this year you're not bound by any of this. Okay. But I do want to speak about something else, which is also to put the halacha in perspective. First of all, the halacha is the beginning and the end of Yiddishkeit, the way we from a Yidden observe, but there is a spirit to Judaism. And we also have to be cognitive that if I'm only going to think about halacha, we all know people that can follow the halacha and miss the spirit. And we all see Jews that are misguided and they don't keep halacha, but they keep the spirit. So let's not minimize the importance also, even though it's secondary, of keeping the spirit. The spirit of Yiddishkeit is easy to keep these days, especially because of technology. There's so many amazing shiurim that speak about the building of the temple with Gavaldik. They just had on COL such a Gavaldik class showing where the temple might be, the third Beis Hamikdash. And so the more we learn about the building of the temple, the more we are connected to the spirit of these days in a toyridika way and in a positive way. And that was the path that the Rebbe took for the spirit of these days. Many other Frumah Yidden don't focus as much on the third temple, but they spend a lot of time learning about the Churban. That's also the spirit. And in that spirit, they can be learning about the tragedies that happened in the past. So if you want to spend the time, I'm not saying that you should watch a Holocaust movie, but I'm saying if there's a kosher Holocaust movie, that's in the spirit of the 9 days. That's the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash.
What's the difference between learning about the old temple and the coming temple?
Whether you're going to be focusing on the sad past or about the glorious future. So this is a hashkafic, general, beautiful machlokes between the Jewish people that Chabad, the Rebbe, educated us. But he said that what he's saying was not relevant 100 years ago. But being that Mashiach is taka about to come, so the Rebbe was already tasting the Mashiach in the ear, and there's a tremendous joy with Mashiach, but you have to keep halacha. So spend the 9 days focused on the future.
Are it's fundamentally correct? Like, is it
halachically, God forbid. I would say like this, that if you go... go if you go if you go into every any good young Israel, and if there's going to be a public gathering, it's going to be connected to the Churban HaBayis and some very inspirational but sad class about the past. And if you're going to go into a Chabad house, I guarantee you, you're going to, if there's going to be some public learning, it's going to be about the Third Temple.
But what I mean is like the neshama of the Beis Hamikdash, right? If you're tapping into learning about what was, and you're getting into what it was and what it meant and how it reflects in our lives, versus learning about the new one.
Same thing. The question is, will the energy be packaged in a sadder package or in a more upbeat, futuristic package? And Elo ve'Elo, Divrei Elokim Chayim. I'm happy, I have the schus to be a Chabad Chassid. But everyone has to find their path. And by the way, it's not one or the other. Everyone thinks about the third Beis HaMikdash. And everyone thinks about the Churban HaBayis. The whole Eicha is about the Churban. The whole Kinnus is about the Churban. It's not one or the other. It's about which one are you emphasizing more.
And manifesting? I mean, if you're thinking about the third Beis HaMikdash, you're more manifesting the rebuilding versus...
Yeah. So I would say for the guys that say the whole Kinnus, as we showed, so it's a very long day prayer. You're sitting for 3 hours and you're reading. It will be typical in a Chabad Shul that sometime in the middle of the Kinnus, a few guys will start singing Shia Banu Beis HaMikdash and they'll start dancing. Whether it's halachically kosher or not, I'm just saying because we want to remind ourselves, it's terrible what happened, but that's not the end of the story. Like I told you, like I don't think it's disrespectful during a burial for someone then to verbalize their emunah that is going to be the resurrection. You're not taking, first of all, it does take away the edges of the pain. Because when the person sees like the end, this is the end, you're talking, no, this is the end right now, but there's going to be chapter number two. And being that this is emes, it's not false, it's emes. And it's not inappropriate, at least from the background that I come from. Nothing wrong with it. So that's concerning the spirit, and people that should keep halacha and do keep halacha also have to make the effort to get into the spirit, whether it's going to be be'ikr about the churban, the sad, whether it's going to be be'ikr about the future happy. But you gotta make an effort like in any other mitzvah. I can keep Shabbos halachically, but I won't keep the spirit of Shabbos v'chulei. And we advocate halacha first, halacha last, but in between we gotta fill up the sandwich with something ruchniyazdik, because halacha, just halacha, chaval. You're missing the ruach. A body without a soul is a corpse. Okay. So meat and wine. Interestingly, we again Ashkenazim are makbid that for the 9 days. Aside of Shabbos, we don't eat meat, which includes chicken. We don't drink wine, which includes grape juice. But here again, only for luxury. If a person, let's say, is iron deficient, practical, and the doctor says, for you, eat meat, that's okay. Or swimming, clear. If a person is swimming for pleasure, we don't do that during the 9 days. If a person is swimming for health, you can swim for health. You know, especially if a person is doing a therapy, they broke a bone and they got this, that for sure. No, it's swimming is asr for luxury. Meat and wine is asr on the weekday, luxury. What about for children?
Like say children are gonna get very grumpy and hot and, you know, miserable. It's not necessarily luxury, but you take them for a quick swim so that they calm down and don't tear apart your house.
Okay, so when it comes to swimming, there's another aspect to it. Because when it comes to health, you can argue, it's healthy.
Mental health.
Okay, that's hard to draw the line. But swimming is still considered a relatively dangerous activity. V'haraya, right? You have to have a lifeguard legally in many public places.
Right.
And we are not to engage in something that's considered dangerous. Fascinating how we define dangerous in halacha. Fascinating. And we accepted that swimming is considered a dangerous activity. Children need a lifeguard. That's another reason why one should not swim. I'm speaking about
now.
What
is the definition of danger, since you're touching on it?
Wow. Okay. According to most opinions, something that everyone is engaged in weighs halachically into defining it as non-dangerous. I want to give you a mashal of driving. Even though statistically, some other activities, maybe even swimming, statistically is less dangerous as, but any activity that we are living in a world that everyone needs to do it and everyone is engaged in it, that weighs to for us to be allowed to say that's no longer considered a dangerous activity.
Not dangerous.
Not
driving
dangerous.
Is not considered
dangerous. No one, yeah, I don't know anyone that will not drive on the 9 days. Huh?
No, I get it, but driving to me is like so dangerous.
Now, here you go. That's a great example. That's a great muscle. That was my point of driving. But you can argue statistically,
right.
We probably know someone that will die in a car accident, and it's possible for us never to know anyone that's gonna. It's possible. I don't know the numbers, but nevertheless, being that the world is built in a way that for the functionality, the way we live, everyone needs to drive, and therefore everyone is driving. Once there is an activity that everyone is doing, I'm not saying that this is the only criterion, but this, according to almost all of the halachic authorities, this makes it not that dangerous.
Interesting, because Shabbos, it's not like, oh, our society functions on driving so we can drive on Shabbos.
Correct. No, yeah, it's a whole different thing.
I know.
Very good.
Is it because it's more like from the Ten Commandments?
No, yeah, because the problem of Shabbos driving is not about safety or danger. It's right. Not a safety danger. It's about we're not allowed to create a fire, something else.
Oh.
It's a different source.
Oh,
in other words, theoretically, if there's a means of transportation, in which you're not creating a fire, I'll give you an example, an escalator, again, I'm not giving a halachic ruling, but here, actually, I have whom to lean on. When we lived in Hong Kong, before Basi was born, whoever went there, it's a city built on a mountain, extremely humid and hot, very humid and hot, and there's public escalators, like big time, like massive. So you can go up a few miles, block by block by block, by huge public escalators. And even in the downtown, there's huge indoor, it's also very hot, like in Toronto they have for the cold, there's a lot of indoor malls. And there's a lot of ways of going mamish for a few blocks from one to the other by going through these malls, and they will include you going on escalators. There was a hotel near where Arhabaros was that the only way to get, I don't even think there was an option of taking a staircase. And I had faxes, because when I lived there, the means of communication was via fax, and I was going to print a book about all of the questions that I asked to different Rabbanim from all different groups, fascinating questions, and I got answers. And then we moved from there to Eretz Yisrael, and because of the heat, what happens to fax paper happened quicker. It faded. It was a pity, but I had, there wasn't a single halachic poisik that said you cannot take an escalator on Shabbos. You could take an escalator on Shabbos.
Interesting.
Oh, I'm giving you an example, because the
it's
way,
going anyway.
And not only that's going anyway, but I don't know, I'm not a maven in technology or in the way things work, but you being on it or off, it doesn't add the amount of electricity. That's a very important point. Unlike an elevator. Oh, elevator is a whole different passion.
Elevator.
It does take more up electricity, and then in the elevator, many of them have actual weights, and there's actually some place where numbers are going on to weigh people. Elevators are a lot more complicated. When they build a Shabbos elevator, it's not only that it's preset to stop on every floor. It was built in a way that there's Shabbos elevators, if it was built by people that knew halacha. No, the main thing by the elevator is, number one, it should be consuming always the maximum amount of electricity. So whether you are in it or not, you're not changing.
Elevators are more like,
you have to know who made it. You have to know. And I would even argue here. I don't know. And then there's the issue of it's weighing you. And what does that? What, you know? The moment you're modifying some electrical current, we paskin, that's part of violation of Shabbos. But if I am somehow, if I'm going on a subway, now I'm not allowed to go on a subway because I'm stealing. I'm allowed to steal. I gotta pay. But if there would be free subways. Another example, I would be allowed to go on it on Shabbos.
Oh,
because
a bus, a train.
A train, not a bus. Gas is different, and not so push it. It's not that by, especially by a big bus. Big bus will not be consuming more gas because one person is on it. You have to speak to people that are experts in technology. But coming back, we got Gansan Farfaren over here because you made this correlation. It's okay. But you know, Shabbos, the issue is I'm not allowed to create fire. I'm not allowed to change a electrical current. Here on the 9 days, I'm not allowed to do something that is considered dangerous, but that's not the only thing we're looking at. It's a whole smorgasbord. We should not be engaged in things that are considered luxurious. And there's a lot of room, you know, people, many people in America, the only time they can take off on vacation is during the 9 days. You can't tell a person, you can't go on vacation. Can't do that. You can tell a person when you go on vacation, do something safe. Go to rest.
But that usually involves like a beach or a pool. For most people.
We don't go on the water. We don't go on the water. I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying that's...
A lot of people can't go skydiving.
Oh, so you're asking the right person. Oh, we are skydivers, all of us. I would argue theoretically that if your parents allow you to go, it's a safest sport in the world. But we can debate that another time. Say, I would say like this. I would say, in all seriousness, you should probably avoid it during the 9 days. It's probably...
During the 9 days.
We're talking 9 days. The 9 days.
What's the correlation between the danger and the
muzzle,
morning?
Muzzle, right? Muzzle. Not so separate. Very good.
The morning, and you have that extra aura, that extra muzzle.
So something... So in other words, if you'll be in a situation...
Well,
we are always susceptible to danger. But whenever some dangerous event happens to me, being that I have this super me, so that's my savior. That's my savior. My muzzle will always save me. But if it's harder to access it, so stay. That's the way I understand it. We don't cut our hair during the 9 days, not even during the 3 weeks. We don't cut our nails only for Shabbos.
Does that apply to a woman as well in terms of
woman? If a woman, if for mikvah, a woman can cut her hair and cut her nails.
And for children, like because they scratch themselves, like I just cut my baby's nails.
Okay, if you find
scratches his face,
if your child,
if
a child is scratching, for sure you can cut their nails. No question about that.
I just had some conversation with David. I said I thought that a woman should always do her nails because it's, you know, just cover. Like a woman
who needs to look. Very good. I want to answer this by giving you what I spoke about. I spoke about bathing, or I didn't speak about bathing. The Rambam writes that a person should bathe once a week. I know they didn't have showers. Bathing is more intrusive. It takes away all of the body oils. The Rambam writes that bathing more than once a week is not healthy. So now, based on this model, where a society is bathing once a week, don't bathe during the 9 days, because you're skipping one bath. And therefore, again, this is even more lenient than washing clothing. Here, everyone, I'm afraid to quote it and quote me, that we today hold, long as the only purpose of your shower, first of all, don't bathe. You don't have to bathe. Take a shower. It minimizes. And even the shower, it's not for luxury. It's only for cleanliness, which would mean it's going to be a lot quicker, which would mean that you should ideally make the water less hot. If you're able to take a cold shower. It should be done in a way where it's clear this is not a luxurious bathing. Why do people do that? Because since we bathe every day, so not bathing is kavod abrius. Now, Amayona, I want to make a correlation. If you have a person that their nails grow very quick and they cut their nails every day, then you can argue. I see an argument that you can cut your nails. And here I would say with a shinui.
Say that again, sorry.
And Shana was asking whether you can cut your nails. So I said, halachically, during the 9 days, you can only cut your nails out of Shabbos or if a woman is going to the mikvah. But then she says, if there's a kavod habriyos, that means that if you have a person that does it every day, if they do it every day, if they do it once a week, then skip 1 week. You're not even skipping a week. You do it out of Shabbos, do it out of Shabbos. But no one should know. If a person is sitting shloshim for the parents, during shloshim, the big difference between Shiva and Shleshim is cutting nails. We're not allowed to cut our nails for 30 days.
And that includes getting your nails on. And that includes,
that's for sure not. That's already fancy. And that, even for Shabbos, and that's something that's extremely difficult, even for the men. And what they told me in the Chevra Kaddish in Yerushalayim is that if you can't handle it, bite them.
Oh,
my God. In other words, keep the halachas. Don't cut them with a nail clipper. But most people today cannot handle not cutting the nails for 30 days. I'm talking about
just filing.
Filing the chayit is better than cutting. Okay.
My question is though, is the halacha for women different than the halacha for men? Because women have a different standard than men.
Theoretically, it's the same concept. Its application could vary. The theory behind all this is don't do anything that's luxurious. Whatever is considered a necessity or for kavod habriyos, if a person is dirty, then they should wash themselves. You had this big Sfardish Rav now, speaking to, the Charedim in Eretz Yisrael, they have a different lifestyle. And he was telling them, listen, if you bathe every 2 days, bathe every 3 days. He's saying, if you bathe every day, bathe every second day, shower. And he says, and if you bathe once a week, then my friend, You're making a chil Hashem. Start bathing more often, he says. It was so cute that he said that. No, it's fakert. Because nowadays, the world that we, because of running water, people don't bathe once a week.
Bring it down a notch, basically.
Don't do anything that's luxurious, and that will, that these are external behaviors which will keep us mindful that we are in a national mourning period for the Beis Hamikdash.
Don't get a car wash this week.
I would argue, so again, a car wash is a Kiddush Hashem issue. I can argue. Depends. If your car is very dirty, especially for me, I'm working the Yarmulke Chil Hashem. I can argue you could. Doesn't say you can't get a car wash. If you don't need it, if you can delay it. That's it. Okay. Okay. Say it. Now, Chevra, let's move into Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av, from midday Erev Tisha B'Av, many halachas of the fast or of the day begins.
Except the Shabbos.
Oh, this year is different. Not fully. Which is, being that learning Torah brings us joy, or at least should bring us joy. So just like we're not supposed to be listening to music because it's something that you don't need and it brings a certain amount of joy that we want to diminish in, you can't learn Torah from midday, Erev Tisha B'Av, until minimally midday of Tisha B'Av, and in many areas until the end of Tisha B'Av. With the exception of learning anything related to the Churban HaBeis HaMikdash, learning about the third temple, learning all of the midrashim and the stories and the talmuds that speaks about destruction, or learning the halachis about mourning, all that could be done. But with the exception of all that, you can't learn Torah, which means, even this year, that Shabbos is Erev Tisha B'Av. Actually, Shabbos, I take it back, is Tisha B'Av. But from midday, Shabbos, we already don't, like Chitas and Rambam, we learn before midday. This Shabbos, we are restricted in what we are allowed to learn from midday, Shabbos, and onwards. We are supposed to eat a proper meal out of the fast day, like on Tisha B'Av, like on Yom Kippur, to be able to fast. And aside of eating food, however you know you need to eat for you to be able to fast, on top of that, there is an inyan to have a meal right before the fast. That meal is called Su'udas HaMafsekas. The meal from that is the break between eating to the period of time that we are forbidden to eat.
So would that be third meal this year?
So this year it could be the third year. Now let me go into, very good. Normally, Su'udas HaMafsekas, there are restrictions about it. First of all, you have to eat it sitting on the ground already, or on a stool that's lower than the three hand breadths. Second of all, you're not allowed to sit in a group. Third of all, you may not eat more than two cooked foods. Minhag Yisrael is, we have bread and an egg, and we dip it into ashes. This year that it's Shabbos, the only restriction we have in Su'udas HaMafsekas is not to make a big party about it. Not to make a big fabrinigan about it. But you can sit in your, you have to sit in your chair, you can't sit low. You can have meat and wine. You can have as many foods as you want. This year, it's Shabbos, but interestingly, we can only eat until Shkia. So you're speaking about things don't go on the same track. Shabbos ends when it's dark, right, around 40 minutes after Shkia. Eating may not be done for the last 40-some minutes of Shabbos because it's already, for Tisha B'Av, it's already considered the next day.
Wait, so we have our during Shabbos?
So like this, we have a normal Shabbos meal. All shuls call for an early mincha. After mincha, people go home. In many shuls, this is normal because people want to have Shabbos shuls at home. But I'm saying that everyone, early mincha, go home, final meal. The meal needs to be over, not by the end of Shabbos, God forbid, but by Shkia. So the times, you will see in the Luach what the time is. Then there'll be a certain amount of time that it's still Shabbos, but you may not eat or drink. But aside of not eating and drinking, the other laws of Tisha B'Av don't go into effect yet. For example, we're not allowed to wear leather shoes. However you'll explain this. You can't wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av. We don't take off the leather shoes when it's still Shabbos. You have to wait until Shabbos is out. We actually will not make Havdalah on a cup of wine because it's a fast day. But we will have to say, Baruch HaMavdil Bin Kodesh L'Chol. Then you take off your leather shoes. If you're wearing leather shoes, put on your Tisha B'Av shoes, your non-leather shoes. And again, there's the law. if it's not leather, you're good. The spirit of the law, don't wear the fanciest, most beautiful, most comfortable shoes. You know, I get it that nowadays people argue there's no difference between leather and non-leather. Could be. Halacha doesn't change. I'm not allowed to wear leather shoes, but when I'm going to be wearing non-leather shoes, I'll be toning it down. Whatever that means for anyone. Some people, whatever, they're not into clothing to begin with. But people that appreciate clothing and they have three pairs of sneakers and they have their $200 pair or $1,000, whatever the sugar and money is, don't wear that on Tisha B'Av. Wear Pashat, it's to tone down. Don't wear leather shoes. That is after Shabbos. We go to shul, we daven Maitiv, we make the bracha for the fire. We make Boidim O'Eir Ha'esh Motzoi Shabbos, even though we don't make Abdullah on a cup. I don't think we make the blessing on B'samim. I don't think I'll have to see that. Before we say Yolenu, we sit down on the floor in the shul and we read Medrash or Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha, according to almost all the halachic authorities, is not like Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther has to be read out of a real Megillah on parchment. And if you don't have one on parchment, don't read it out loud because then you're not going to be Yoitza. By Eicha, everyone reads it out of a book. Everyone can read along.
Women
can read along.
Did you have to hear it in shul?
You know, women are not obligated, like they're not obligated to hear the shofar. But you sure? Sure? Why not?
Do you have a question?
Sure.
You know how you said that the fast starts before Shabbos comes out? So I learned in my halacha class, I don't know if I pronounced it right, something like Bein Hashmashim or something like that.
Pronouncing it good.
So that's like the time of confusion.
Very
so
good.
So wouldn't the fast then start after that when we know that it's the next day?
No. So for the fast, we're machmer for Shabbos. So we say Shabbos is only over after that period, and then we're machmer with the fast because maybe it's already Sunday.
You're saying because we're making sure, like we're taking.
We're covering both.
Right. We're not having a chance of.
Correct. And Bechlal in halacha, it's not the same rules work for all the mitzvahs.
I was going to say, like, there's, do we always take that extra step?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Don't take a chance.
By important obligations, yeah? Important will mean either biblical or certain rabbinical obligations. And sometimes we say it's a minig or it's a stama rabbinic. We don't have to be so careful. We can be lenient.
Do people prepare ashes before Shabbos?
So we don't have the ashes on Shabbos. No, it's the only restriction.
And no hard-boiled egg either.
We don't have a hard-boiled egg. The only restriction we have for Surah Sam of Sekas on Shabbos is that we don't make it into what's called a Su'udas Chaverim. It doesn't mean you can have guests. But I'm talking about that festive Shabbos, like a freilich environment. Don't make it while you're eating. But you can eat and drink whatever you need to eat and drink. Okay.
Until just before Shkia.
Until before Shkia. B'diyuk. Now, fasting on Tisha B'Av. We can't burn out. When it comes to brushing on the teeth, you have a big machlekes on Shabbos. You have such extreme opinions. Some opinions hold that toothpaste cannot be used on Shabbos because it's so relatively solid. We're not allowed to make a solid into a non-solid. Right? We're not allowed to break something down, but we can't use hard soap. Some people say, nah, the toothpaste is fine. The toothbrush is a problem. Schita. And it's irrelevant for the fast. If you can brush your teeth on Shabbos, you can brush your teeth on Shabbos. If you can't, you can't, but only before the fast. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So, classroom. Do we wear, like, if we're wearing Shabbos clothes and then we're going to Eicha, I know we change our shoes Saturday night, but do we change our clothes? Like, do we go in Shabbos clothes?
Okay. Great question. So, first of all, Baruch HaMavdol Min Kodesh L'Chol, I'm very makpid, always, to only wear Shabbos clothing Motzoi Shabbos until midnight, as it says in Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, on that, you should wear your Shabbos, socially for people who have a different type of social life, Motzoi Shabbos, it might not be that convenient.
Right.
So I will never tell you to put on weekday clothing. No, it's Motzoi Shabbos. Now, if a person always dresses down from the Bachavadika Shabbos clothing, you are allowed to do it.
What if I argue I want to keep it like Shabbos is its own thing and then Saturday night's already not Shabbos, why am I lowering
Because the way we give kavod to Shabbos, even in halacha, is by taking in Shabbos early to a certain degree and by allowing Shabbos to leave later beyond the boundary. So there are many people
maybe Dafka on
on Tisha B'Av. You want
in other words, very good. Very good. No one can say you have to bring, you wear big dechol. No.
Big
dechol? Normal clothing, mundane clothing. You can't say that. It's Matzah Shabbos. As covered Shabbos, I wear my Shabbos clothing. On the other hand, if you want to wear mundane garments, it's okay. You know, breaking a law.
It's your own personal kavana.
Yeah, I would say even people that if they go out to an environment where Shabbos clothing might not be ideal, wear your Shabbos clothing. It's Matzah Shabbos because it's Matzah Shabbos. It's Matzah Shabbos. And it's good. Many people Matzah Shabbos leave their white tablecloth on. Many people light candles Matzah Shabbos. And if they do that every week, they should do a Tisha B'Av.
But if I don't do it every week, but only because we go to social settings.
Yes,
hour.
I understand. Yeah.
So
you can wear your Shabbos. At least then wear your Shabbos clothing.
Okay.
Good for you. Okay. Fasting. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, even though Yom Kippur is biblical and Tisha B'Av is not biblical, but they are considered the most serious fast days that we have. So, flemashal, a woman who's pregnant, a woman who's halachically nursing means if a woman had a child naturally for the next 24 months, she's called a nursing mother, whether she's nursing, whether she's not nursing. A woman who had a child C-section, even though she's nursing, is not called a nursing mother. We'll leave that for another topic. But if there's a halachically nursing mother, she should not fast any fast days other than Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, theoretically. So there is no exemption for the pregnant or for the fasting woman. However, Tisha B'Av is more lenient than Yom Kippur in two halachas. Halacha number one, to break your fast on Yom Kippur, there has to be some sort of danger involved. It's called a chayla sheyesh by sakana. To break a fast on Tisha B'Av, danger is not needed to justify breaking the fast. Just illness, however you define illness, not hospital illness. And therefore, many women who are nursing, they have no kayach. That can be called illness for that time. It's lesser than Yom Kippur to break it. The other difference is, if a person needs to break the fast on Yom Kippur, it's still Yom Kippur, so they are to be told that it's not since I can eat and drink. Eat a limited amount of food and drink a limited amount of liquid within a certain limited amount of time, which is 1 ounce of liquid and 1 ounce of food. And if you can spread it out 9 minutes or more, it's great. One second. You got that? If a woman has to break her fast, or a man, they have to break the fast on Yom Kippur, so they are to be told.
No, but also
Tishba? Oh, no. So on Yom Kippur, you break it with shiurim, which is 1 ounce of liquid, 1 ounce of food, within 9 minutes, even within 8 minutes, even within 7 minutes. In other words, wait 7 minutes until you have the other one. If you did that, then you're good. On Tisha B'Av, a side of the Tzemach Tzedek, who also was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, but many people who are not Chabad follow his rule, a side of him, they say that by Tisha B'Av, once you can break it, eat and drink. That Tzemach Tzedek was machmer. He says that the concept of shiurim should be applied to Tisha B'Av, but being that this year Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, so now it's already a pushed off, suspended, delayed, however you want to call it, nitcha fast, so we can be more lenient. So if a person needs to break the fast, if they taka have to break the fast halachically, then they can break their fast.
But does that mean you have a bite and then keep going fasting, or once you've broken it, you can just...
Oh, great question. And let me add to your question. Many of us have children, and to understand that even when one is not obligated to fast, whether it's a child, whether it is a person, practically, it can be a nursing mother, it can be a person who is infirm, chayla, they should remember that it's a fast day. So even if you're not going to apply the shiurim, eat and drink that which you need, not to be ill. So we should not give our children nash on Tisha B'Av. Part of our chinuch is that, no, today's a day of mourning. We're mourning the Churban HaBayis. Doesn't mean we have to go sit and cry, but let's follow what it says in halacha. Let's not indulge in anything that's beyond the necessity.
So what if not drinking lowers your milk supply, but you don't feel you're in danger
Take out the word danger. The word danger is not needed.
Right. So what was the word used?
Illness.
No. So let's say you feel fine, but you know if you don't drink, it'll lower your milk supply, and your baby's only... nursed. Then do you wait till you feel
gotta wait until you feel. I would say all Frumo women always have a challenge with the milk after Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. It's a challenge. There's no danger involved in that.
The rest of the child.
There is a danger for the babies.
What, on the fast itself?
Not on the fast.
You can have
the child will have be a danger as a result.
The child today, the child. Listen, in the old days, if a mother lost her milk, some children died from that. Today it's a different world. Today, and it's not ideal and it's not the best. But I'm saying the child won't be in danger. Many women even choose not to nurse. I'm not saying that's a good thing or not. I'm just saying that it's not going to endanger the child.
It also affects your milk supply.
I know that. So there'll be less milk. So then that means the child will have to start getting on formula. Ugh. Yeah, I know that.
After that and drink all those things.
Yeah, but you're
too. Don't. I know, in other words, let's go this way. I think here alternative medicine, at least from my experience, is amazing. You go to a good homeopathic doctor and you whatever, and you take these things, and they really help for women that are frum and they fast, that the Hashem should help them, that they shouldn't have any diminution, or the body should somehow replenish it.
Amen.
All right.
I got very sick from fasting. And so the doctor there said,
you're not used to it.
The ER is the busiest on Yom Kippur, like at the end of Yom Kippur, and the next day.
Because
all the people, especially.
Okay.
It's just a saying. It's like
they just. I don't know. I first of all, just I'm not going to diminish. I'm not going to diminish that, but there's also a lot of it is psychological, without any doubt.
For sure.
And the biggest proof is that take any young child pre Bar Bas Mitzvah that come from a Frumo home, and all the older siblings, I'm fasting. I remember it. My kids had it before they were mechoyev to fast. All of your kids want to fast. I want to fast. And the moment they're hitting the three fast before Bar Bas Mitzvah, you have to fast all of a sudden. You see, it's like, they don't want to fast. I can't fast. I'm dying. I'm fainting. I got to lay down. So we have to be careful, because what is real has to be honored. You know, I'm not to laugh away. Certain people cannot fast. Just to acknowledge that some of it is psychological, and if we get into the mode that I'm going to do what God wants, if this is the kavanah to fast, I'm going to fast, and God is great, and then Hashem will help us. Amen. We won't have to fast this fast. Mashiach is coming, but Tisha B'Av will never go away.
The second Shabbos Tisha B'Av in a row, right?
And then I think it was 3 years ago. There was one break, and then again Shabbos Tisha B'Av.
Right. What's with that? Is that that's a thing, probably?
Mashiach is coming. God doesn't want to fast.
There are things that they sell at, I don't know where, but definitely at Glatmat or at Tara, they're called Tzomei Kal. It helps you fast. Yeah, it helps you fast. I've used it. I mean, if it's just psychological.
So cares, it works.
There's one for nursing mothers, there's one for men, there's one for women.
What is it?
It's like a Haredi company in Bnei Brak has created.
Is it like caffeine and then you can't sleep that night?
No.
It's worth it. I'm fine with that.
No, it's not. It's called Tzomei Kal, it's called, and they're great.
And it helps.
And it's got ginseng and guarana. There's no, I don't think there's caffeine in it. Yeah, I mean, again.
What an ass, caffeine.
Good or bad,
it's good for you.
Good.
And
so when the fast falls on a regular day, not Shabbos, the next day after fast, we don't eat meat.
Very good, so let me finish with that. So very, very good, thank you. When the Beis HaMikdash began to burn at the end of Tisha B'Av, and it burned on the 10th day, both the first and second temple. And that's why the Talmud says that certain great rabbis said that if we would have been during this Zman HaBayis, we would have enacted the 10th of Av for the fasting. But it wasn't. It was on the 9th.
Wow.
But since it burnt on the 10th, it began to burn late the night, almost before Shkia, the end of the fast, which is...
So why do we not?
Because we consider the beginning of a calamity the main calamity.
Even if
it's just the beginning. But, aside of breaking the fast, all of the rules end only on the 10th midday. Which means meat, wine, music, laundry,
hair, nails,
this year, since we're fasting on the 10th already, it's already different.
So Monday morning,
already fasting. So Sunday night, I apologize, there's one halacha that's not coming to my mind. There's one thing we have to keep, just and then everything, and the next morning you're good to go from the morning.
Probably no meat.
I don't remember. I have to see inside.
Halacha.
What was the question?
Leather shoes?
I'm saying that this year there is one thing, I don't remember, there is one halacha that still keeps at night, something.
On the
10th? Even though it's already the 11th.
Why would it be halacha?
I don't know, just to remember that, no, I think it's probably not to forget that the halacha goes into the next day.
Okay, I have a question for Shabbos. You're not allowed to prepare for the fast, so if you're drinking extra water or...